Our present meditation is the first of a series asking, what is the sacrament of the Eucharist? We have for some time now been asking ourselves, what is the Church's teaching on the real presence? We have seen how, under the need to both defend and explain the meaning of the real presence, the Church has remarkably grown in her insight into what the real presence means. I cannot exaggerate the importance of seeing the remarkable development of Eucharistic doctrine over the centuries and especially in modern times. For the record, we are still on the first part of our retreat. We are still asking ourselves, what do we believe when we believe in the real presence? Our present conference is to examine more closely what we believe when we believe in the Holy Eucharist as a sacrament. That's the focus. Why is this important? Because we know that the Eucharist is one of the seven sacraments instituted by Christ. We also know, and we keep repeating, the Eucharist is the Blessed Sacrament. We regularly speak of the Eucharist as the sacrament of the altar. Seems only proper that we ask ourselves, what are we saying when we say the Eucharist is a sacrament? As we know, how well I know, using words is one thing. Knowing what the words we use mean is something quite different. Our purpose in this retreat is to better understand what these words of our faith, especially relative to the Holy Eucharist, really mean. And more specifically, our present meditation is to ask ourselves, what do we mean when we speak of the sacrament of the Eucharist? Our plan for this conference is to answer three questions. What is a sacrament? How is the Holy Eucharist a sacrament? And why is the Holy Eucharist a sacrament? First then, what is a sacrament? In order to begin to understand what the sacraments, plural, are, we must first recognize that there are two levels of life that God has offered to the human race. we begin to understand what a sacrament is once we realize that there are two levels. Pardon me, there should be two levels to our existence, the natural and the supernatural. We have, first of all, our natural life. As human beings, it is called natural because we are conceived and born with this life. From the Latin word natura, which comes from the Latin word natus, for a man, or nata, for a woman, born. At the moment of conception, God creates an immortal soul, which he infuses into the body prepared by our parents. Our bodies are destined to die. When the principle of our natural life, the soul, separates from the body, but we shall never die. Our souls are immortal. That's not a theological cliche. That's a fact of reality. The natural life of our bodies ceases when the soul leaves the body, but the soul remains naturally alive. However, there is beyond the natural life also the supernatural life, which we receive at baptism. It is called supernatural for the obvious reason that it is, well, more than natural, super, indeed more than just supernatural. It is super created. No creature has a claim or a right to this, quotes, supernatural life. What is it? It is the life of grace. Tell us more. It is the life of the uncreated grace of the Holy Trinity dwelling in the souls who are, as we say, justified. Then his, the Holy Trinity's indwelling, produces the effect, which is a created grace, otherwise known as sanctifying grace. Having this life in our souls entitles us to the beatific vision of God in a heavenly eternity. That's the bedrock foundation for beginning to understand what the sacraments are. Except for the supernatural life, there wouldn't be any need for the sacraments. So then we have to ask ourselves, what are the sacraments? All the sacraments have to do is with a supernatural life. 7 levels or 7 categories. The sacraments are to give us this supernatural life. As baptism, all the sacraments are to strengthen this supernatural life. Through confirmation, all the sacraments are to nourish, feed, sustain this supernatural life through the Eucharist. All the sacraments are to restore and or heal this supernatural life through the sacrament of penance or confession. All the sacraments are to prepare us for eternity by readying our supernatural life for heaven through anointing. Then for those who have the vocation to be ordained, they are to receive the sacrament which enables them to confer, restore, or strengthen the supernatural life in others through holy orders. Or finally, as I've told so many married people, for those who are so prepared by God to cooperate, first of all, with their married spouse in sharing their supernatural life with one another and passing on the supernatural life which they have to the children that God may wish to send them. For a Christian, that's the purpose of marriage. It is not physical procreation. You didn't even have to be married to do that. Having said this, we go on. As the Church over the centuries has been teaching us, the sacraments are sensibly perceptible signs instituted by Jesus Christ, by which invisible grace and inward sanctification are communicated to the soul. What then are the essentials of every sacrament? They are 3. A sacrament must have been instituted by Christ during his visible stay on earth. Secondly, a sacrament is a sensibly perceptible rite, R-I-T-E. Something is said or done or touched or felt or tasted in the sensibly perceptible order. And finally, a sacrament actually confers the supernatural grace that the rite or ritual or sign signifies. The pouring of water signifies cleansing. Receiving Holy Communion signifies being fed. So much for a brief overview of what the sacraments are. I repeat, the purpose of this retreat is to more clearly and deeply penetrate into the meaning of what we already believe, so that believing more deeply, we may live more holily. Our second reflection. The Holy Eucharist, a sacrament. Against the background we've just overviewed, we are now ready to ask ourselves, how is the Eucharist a sacrament? And we answer, the Eucharist is not only a sacrament, it is the sacrament. It is the highest from one perspective, and the greatest from another, of all the sacraments. The Eucharist is the goal and purpose of all the other sacraments. But what a difference. 25 years of teaching my own Jesuit theology. What a difference between saying words or repeating formulas and grasping the meaning of what we are saying. More still, remember we're asking ourselves, what are we asking? How is the Holy Eucharist a sacrament? If every sacrament is a channel of divine grace, the Eucharist is far more, and the comparative degree is unworthy of what we want to say. The Eucharist is no mere channel of grace. The Eucharist is the author of grace. Namely, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who became man in order to restore to us the life of grace lost by sin, and communicated through his humanity. Burn that into your memories. God became man in order that through his humanity he might communicate the grace which he, as the God-man, possessed in its totality. Instructed Catholics, if they are asked to name the seven sacraments, will of course include the Eucharist. So let me tell you, there are a lot of Catholics nowadays claim to be Catholics that don't know the seven sacraments. Like my bright student at the University of Detroit, first class, that I find out how much they knew. Among the seven sacraments, they included divorce. So an instructed Catholic will, of course, include the Eucharist among the seven sacraments. If a Catholic is further asked to describe the sacrament of the Eucharist, the normal and understandable answer would be, the sacrament of the Eucharist is Holy Communion. The answer is correct. But if that were an adequate answer, we'd have a retreat, but it would not be on the Holy Eucharist. We are not answering adequately when we say the sacrament of the Eucharist is Holy Communion. Sure, the sacrament of the Eucharist is Holy Communion. But then you don't put a period after that sentence. We've been saying and keep emphasizing the development of doctrine in the Catholic Church's teaching. Notice, not development of revelation. No addition, no accretion to the revealed Word of God. That was completed at the end of the first century. But development of doctrine, which means the Church's teaching. Because the Church keeps growing in her penetration into and grasp of what Christ had revealed and what the Holy Spirit, who is the soul of the Church, as Christ foretold, keeps teaching the Church. Teaching the Church what? Not a quantitative increment, but a qualitative grasp. The Church now in the 20th century knows more about God's revealed mysteries than she knew, well, even in the 19th century. Now, among the areas of doctrinal development, now the term we use, dogmatic progress. Among the areas of this doctrinal development is the deepening realization how the Holy Eucharist is indeed one sacrament, but this one sacrament confers grace in three different ways. In other words, this one sacrament of the Eucharist is the sacrifice sacrament of the Mass. Unusual language. Thank the present Holy Father for that vocabulary. The Holy Eucharist is also the communion sacrament. When we receive our Lord on our tongues and take Him into our bodies, Well, the Eucharist is also the presence sacrament. Christ confers grace in the Eucharist through the Mass, through Holy Communion, and through his real presence on the altar. In the next three conferences, we will look more closely at the Holy Eucharist as sacrament in each of these three ways. But for the present, it is only to make sure that we recognize the growth in Catholic doctrine by seeing that the Eucharist is a sacrament indeed, and therefore a channel of grace, but on three levels, namely as sacrifice, as communion, and as presence. One of my directives from the Holy See is to make sure that more and more churches in the United States are opened during the day. And that people will obtain the grace which is available to them by Christ's presence in the Holy Eucharist. Needless to say, there's a lot of re-education that millions of Catholics will have to receive in order for that dawn of Eucharistic discovery will come. That, by the way, is the reason for this retreat. We still have one more level of reflection. We asked, how is the Eucharist a sacrament? And we answered, without delving too deeply into the meaning, the Eucharist is a sacrament three times over. We now ask, why? Why is the Eucharist a sacrament? Even if we ask the question, we wonder why we should ask it. Once we realize, and the word is realize, not what is the Eucharist, but who is the Eucharist, it seems almost trivial, not to say profane, to ask why the Eucharist is a sacrament. What are you talking about? Why? Because Jesus Christ is the sacrament of the new law. He is the second person who became incarnate. And that becoming incarnate, becoming enfleshed, is the key to understanding the meaning of what is a sacrament, here the Eucharist. He is, therefore, the permanent, principal, primary, primordial channel of grace to the human race. But I repeat, once we realize that the Eucharist is Jesus Christ, it is a self-answered question to ask, why is the Eucharist a sacrament? A better question would be, why not? If, but behind that conditional if stands everything in our faith. If Jesus Christ is really present in the Holy Eucharist, then what else can he be except we do not even want to use the word channel of grace, the author of grace, if and since we believe he is really present, then if Christ in the Eucharist were not a channel of grace, then there are no channels of grace. And we're living in a dream world of spiritual unreality. I've taught too many people. I know the difference between the mind, knowing the meaning of words, and the mind enlightened by faith, grasping, realizing what those words really mean. That is why it is impossible to grasp too clearly or see too deeply the truth of Catholic Christianity. And through the powers of the priesthood, which Christ conferred on his apostles, and enabled them to pass on these powers through ordination, we have Jesus Christ with us, among us, near us, constantly available to us. Why is this so important? So that he might recognize that by believing in his Eucharistic presence, now on earth, we might come to him as he has come to us and obtain from him the supernatural graces that we so desperately need for ourselves, for those who are dear to us, and for the whole wide world. This meditation is the key to everything else we will say. I can think of no better way to conclude this meditation than by quoting from St. Alphonsus Liguori, founder of the Redemptorists and heavenly patron of confessors and spiritual directors. Says St. Alphonsus, who, by the way, along with St. Francis from my infancy, mother being a Franciscan tertiary, Francis, deep, clear realization that Jesus Christ is on earth in the Blessed Sacrament. Then later on, St. Alphonsus, unvarnished, unqualified, clear as crystal, understanding that Jesus Christ is on earth. I quote Alphonsus. Our holy faith teaches us, and we are bound to believe, that in the consecrated host, Jesus Christ is really present under the species of bread. But we also must understand that he is thus present on our altars as on a throne of love and mercy to dispense graces. And there to show us the love he bears us by being pleased to dwell night and day in the midst of us, unquote Alphonsus. That's why God became man, to confer a share in his own divine life with mankind. Having become man, having suffered, died, and risen from the dead, and ascended into heaven, he decided to stay on earth. The author of grace, the primary sacrament of the new law, is with us, near us, and the only condition for our receiving the graces, no limit for Christ's miracles. You want another miracle? All right. Miracles are routine for Christ. And he's here. The only condition, as I'll keep saying until the end of the retreat, is our faith. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.